The Justice Department says two-thirds of the women in prison and half of the men have children under the age of 18. That means some 1.5 million children have a parent behind bars. When prisoners are released, one of the many challenges they face is rebuilding family life. 2 years ago, reporter John Bewin of American Radio Works met a woman named Marcia. She had just finished a 7-year sentence in North Carolina as an accessory to 2 drug-related murders. He has this report on Marcia and her sons, Michael and Kyrie, as the family worked to put itself back together.
Sergeant Jones, we're going back here now. Does someone need to escort us back?
Most of the inmates at the Raleigh Correctional Center for Women wear the required blue-green shirt, sort of like the shirts surgeons wear. This day, Marcia wears jeans and a black sweater. She's a pretty, round-faced woman with shoulder-length hair. She's reserved and watchful, but today she wears a distinct glow.
Today is Thursday, November 15, 2001. It was a date I will never forget.
Now, Marcia, in accepting this parole, I understand that the North Carolina Post-Release Supervision and Parole Commission may modify its terms. I also understand that I am under the legal custody of the Post-Release Supervision and Parole Commission.
Besides meeting with her new parole officer, Marcia has to say goodbye to her closest friends behind bars.
It's a good day. It's a beautiful day.
It's a beautiful day to go home.
Marcia's fellow inmates will tell you she's a sure thing to make it on the outside. She got her degree from Shaw University while in prison. Classmates in her job training course voted her most likely to succeed. Partly because she was such a model inmate, Marcia served just 7 years of a 30-year sentence. Even before her release, she lined up a job with a Raleigh housing corporation. The job will pay $25,000 plus benefits.
Okay. Marcia, God.
I know, right?
You ready?
I asked her what's the first thing she's
going to
do.
She don't know.
I just want to go
inside of the grocery store and push a grocery cart and let my sons pick out what they want.
Bye, baby. Take care.
I will. And you too.
I will. In the name of Jesus, I will.
Okay, that's your gate check.
That's it.
See y'all later.
I love y'all. Today is Friday, December the 6th. Sitting here waiting for my sons to come.
It's 3 weeks after Marcia's release. She sits in her new apartment in a residential section of Raleigh. It's part of Harriet's House, a transitional program for women leaving prison. The arrangement gives Marcia cheap rent and access to counseling.
You know, some people getting out of prison, they say they'd rather go on their own. They don't want to go into a transitional house because of the rules and this and that. But I feel like I do need that. You know, I haven't been on my own, lived on my own in 7 years.
But the halfway house requires ex-prisoners to get settled for 6 months before taking on the full-time care of their children. So Marcia's kids, Michael and Kyrie, still live with Marcia's mother. They come for visits every other weekend.
You got your hair cut.
Oh,
you didn't want it cut.
No.
But you cut it anyway.
My Uncle Booby caught it. Cut it short.
I like it short. Hey, Kyrie.
Hey, Mom.
What? You want to put your stuff in here in the room?
Michael is 11. Kyrie's 9. They wear baggy jeans and jackets. They have round faces like their mothers.
I thought that they would kind of be a little uncomfortable with me. You know, it would take them some getting used to, but no, they were just their self.
While in prison, Marcia wrote lots of letters to the boys and told them she loved them. She had relatives bring them for visits.
Purple, my favorite color. You want that color out there?
We already got a toothbrush. Are we keeping this?
Yeah, you're going to keep these here.
Still, though Kyrie is sunny and affectionate, his big brother Michael is quicker to show an angry edge and a bruised sense of trust that his mother will stay around this time. When Marcia describes something she wrote for a prison drama program, Michael misunderstands.
What is it about?
One of it is a lament. It's about coming to prison and leaving you and Kyrie and what that was.
What? Where are you going?
Where am I going? We perform them in different churches. We go to different churches and do it.
So you leave with us?
No, you'll be with me.
Michael seems reassured for now. For a while after her release, Marcia continues to perform with Chains, a drama troupe made up of women inmates. On a winter evening, the group performs at a Church of Christ in Raleigh.
I blame myself for being incarcerated.
A dramatic moment comes when Marcia recites the monologue she wrote, her Psalm of Lament.
The worst pain I have ever felt was the day Michael lashed out at me, telling me he hated me. And he would never forgive me for coming to prison. You're my mommy. You should have known better, my son said. Michael later hugged me and said, Mommy, I love you and I forgive you. I'm glad Michael forgives me, but I cannot forgive myself for the pain I've caused my son.
Michael does seem more wounded than his little brother, Kyrie. Michael was 4 and Kyrie just 2 when their mother and father went off to prison and when their parents committed the crime that got them sent there.
I remember the day that they did the drive-by.
I don't remember.
Kyrie might not remember it because Kyrie was real young. All I remember, my mom saying she was going to the store. And, like, that's what I really remember. And that's when she came back and everybody started crying and stuff like that. And she was real scared.
My cousin and I were both leaving. I was driving my uncle's car and we were both leaving just to go to the store to purchase gas.
On the way, Marcia says, she and her cousin saw their boyfriends and stopped. Marcia's boyfriend was the father of Michael and Kyrie. He and his friend were drug dealers.
They both caught a ride, and on the way back, they both got out of the car and ended up shooting and killing 2 guys.
2 months after her release, Marcia gets full-time custody of Michael and Kyrie. The 3 now have a 2-bedroom apartment in the halfway house program. The boys transfer into Raleigh school.
All right, you got 5 minutes to do the warm-up. Let's go.
It's the fall of 2002.
I'm Kieran Hamilton, and I'm the principal at Longview School. It's a public separate school for identified special education children who have troubles with their behavior. Michael's pretty typical of most of our 6th graders.
How you gonna tell me?
Oh.
Michael's generally non-compliant.
You hollering at me?
Give me too.
Punch you in your mouth. Shut up, dude. Shut up.
Sit down, son.
Leave my mom and dad.
Shut up.
I'm Miss Victor, Rhonda Victor, special educator. I teach science.
Michael,
stay focused. Step 2. There are days he'll sit and he'll suck his finger like a little baby and not say a word, but he's not willing to work. He's very into beating, you know, drums, and he enjoys that, but he takes that into the classroom and he'll do that all period if I allow him to. So we're working on that.
Kyrie, you did your homework.
And Kyrie's doing great. He's doing good in school.
Hopefully when I get my annual report, I have A's and B's, and I do my homework every day.
It's November in Raleigh. Michael and Kyrie have been living with their mother for 9 months.
I'm glad and still happy that I'm here with them, but it's a lot of challenges that I didn't anticipate.
It's not just Michael's behavior. Marcia and the boys have been grieving, too. Just 2 weeks after Michael and Kyrie moved in with Marcia, their grandmother, who'd taken care of them for 7 years, died suddenly of a heart attack. She was just 49.
I ain't even really cry. Yes, she did. He cried. I cried, but I didn't cry. I didn't want to cry. But I've been around my grandma for so long, like almost my whole life.
For a while, the boys slept with Marcia. They were too upset to sleep alone.
Michael.
Huh?
wash this pot and clean the stove wall and let this water out.
I think I'm about at the very end of my rope with him. He's been suspended again, and his grades are actually dropping. Basically, he's not really doing anything.
You know what it is. I'm straight living it up. Got a black blueberry bitch in the back, straight killing it up.
I've asked him why he says he's bored in class.
I'm real smart, but he just doesn't get along with a lot of kids or teachers and stuff. He just doesn't get along with people.
I think a lot of it has to do with anger. I think he's very angry. He talks a lot about, you know, wanting his dad here and not really having anybody to, as far as a male to identify with. He talks about that some.
And raps about it. Michael takes pride in his freestyling. He rattles off rhymes without writing them down. He says he's never rapped about his mom, but he will rhyme about his still-imprisoned father.
Hey, I wish my dad should have never left. Man, I'm shy, man. All right. Dad, I wish my dad should have never left. In the future, all I see is death. But I try to look past that and turn the other way. I crash that, smash that, put the 9 away as I get a little... I can't...
You looking forward to him getting out of prison?
Yeah.
He is in Gatesville now.
That is, Michael and Kyrie's father is in the North Carolina State Prison in Gatesville. The boys used to visit him when they lived with their grandma, but they haven't seen their dad for a year now, since their mother got released.
I can't take them because I'm not approved to see him because I'm still on parole.
Marcia has heard that her ex-boyfriend might be released soon. She writes him once or twice a month, but says she's unsure of his intentions and her own.
Right now, you know, I'm just still a friend, and it's just been so long. I know I've changed, and I'm not sure if he's the same person or not, so I think it would be hard to say until he's actually out and, you know, I actually see who he is now.
At a Raleigh boys club on a Saturday morning, Marcia watches Michael at basketball tryouts.
Yesterday was November 15th, which was a year since my release. It doesn't seem like it's been a year. I think a lot has been accomplished in that year.
Marcia says in prison, it's all you can do to muster a sliver of hope. She ached to trade that bleak life for this one. The life of a single mom caring for her sons and helping them through their own thickets.
They're so intelligent, but it's certain things. It's either their behavior or, you know, they're still angry at their parents and they can't get past that to concentrate on anything else.
Marcia says she wishes there was more help for Michael and Kyrie and other kids who've had parents in prison. For NPR News and American Radio Works, I'm John Biewen.
John Biewen's story was adapted from a program produced for American Radio Works, the National Documentary Unit of Minnesota Public Radio.